Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, cats and kittens, to Take the Black Live, the one and only show on the internet, where we talk about such things: TV, movies, fantasy, sci-fi, robots, space lasers, swords, dragons, dino swords, and etc. I am Dan Selke, the editor of Winterspin.net, here with Daniel Roman, the other editor of Winterspin.net, and today we have a bit of technology fun. We're both on kind of delays, so I'm going to try and parse things out cleanly and evenly and pristinely. But thanks all for showing up. Hello, Martha. Hello, Christian. Coming in from MI. Missing in action, or is it a place? And as usual, we have plenty to discuss. There is what was supposed to be the biggest movie event of the entire year, came out the other week. We have an early review of what I'm told is a Witcher-shaped dumpster fire coming around the end at the end of the year to Netflix. And this is our final show of the year. This is it. We're not going to be back until January. And so we're going to preview for you right here, live and in action, every show worth watching in 2023, the upcoming calendar year. But first, I wanted me to you, you to me to Daniel, Daniel to me, to get your opinion, Daniel, and your opinion, good viewers, on the could have been the movie event of the year. Maybe it was going to change cinema as we know it. It's cinema. Marvel movies aren't. Daniel, now that it's out and it's out and people talk about it, what did you think of Avatar, The Way of Water, a.k.a. Avatar 2?
Yeah, thanks for the nice pitching it to me there, Dan. Yes, as Dan mentioned, we are a little delayed today. It's probably me. There's probably a cloud over my house that is throwing off my internet. But so Avatar, The Way of Water, baseline, I enjoyed it a lot. For those of you who maybe are tuning in and haven't heard me rant about Avatar every other week for the past month or two, I'm an enormous fan of the first movie. It's probably one of my like all-time favorite movies. I thought The Way of Water, the visuals of it are spectacular. It's not just empty hype. That if you want to go see a movie in a movie theater that has like that spectacle feeling of I'm in the movies, I'm going to be immersed in a different world for 3 hours. 3 hours, probably will need bathroom breaks. I think Way of Water really delivered in that way. I do feel I was a little confused about how it followed up on the first movie's legacy, because, you know, the first movie is all about basically Jake Sully integrating into this culture that has this great reverence for nature. And then the sequel kind of throws that. It still has those themes, but it's so focused on his family that he makes the decisions didn't always feel like they made total sense to me in terms of Jake's going to go, you know, on this journey and that will basically draw attention away from the rest of his tribe. But like the movie didn't really make a great case for why that would work. So it just kind of stuff like that felt a little weird to me, kind of like, abandoning them. Like the whole point was that he was stirring rebellion. So him leaving, I don't understand why that arc made sense. So there were things like that where like it didn't feel as airtight, even though like you could probably laugh or joke about how the first Avatar may or may not be airtight. But I think a good case can be made for you can understand the thought process consistently throughout the first movie more than I think this one. But in terms of the sheer like majesty of the thing and going to see a movie that is not like anything else that's out right now, like there's not an easy substitute for Avatar: The Way of Water. I couldn't say skip it and go see this other similar thing. It's a pretty astounding movie. What did you think, Dan? And what did you think out there if you've seen it? Or if you haven't, are you excited? But Dan, what did you think of The Blue People?
I enjoyed The Blue People. First, I'll answer Nicole's question. Is it worth seeing in 3D? Daniel, you can answer that when it gets back to you. You say, absolutely. Okay, I saw it in 2D.
Yeah.
And I thought it... And we've talked about this before on the show. I can't imagine what I'm getting in a 3D version that I wouldn't have gotten seen it 2D like I did in my theater. It looked great. The visuals, you're right. The visuals were spectacular. It looked very, very good. Now, I'm not going to lie, though. So it's over 3 hours long. The first 2 hours, I was like, this is nice. But like when I had to go to the bathroom, and I did, 3 hours long, I didn't really feel like I had to run lickety split back or I was going to miss out on the time of my life. I liked it. It was nice. That last act, that was exciting stuff. He turns up the heat. The entire last third is really a pretty intense rush to the finish. A lot of great action, a lot of great effects. I mean, for all the talk of this being like a movie to end all movies, a movie that's going to be like a special event of something that you have to see and it's going to be the event of the year. I don't know. Honestly, it seemed like a big blockbuster action movie. It didn't really distinguish itself for me like beyond a Marvel movie or another kind of big tentpole. I enjoyed it, and that last act was very good, but there were weird stuff. You're right. Like you were talking about, why does he have to go to the water people? It didn't seem like can support it. And it's, I mean, me looking at it as someone who knows kind of just the conversation around the movie, it's because James Cameron freaking loves the water. Titanic, Sphere, he just wants to get there. So he just kind of makes an excuse. And I mean, I think because he's such a revered filmmaker, we have a tendency to kind of imagine that he must have some kind of deep cinematic reason for doing all the choices. Like, dude just likes water. I really think that's literally it. Like, he wanted to be in water, so he had them go to water. And that's, it kind of ends there. And it doesn't really hold up, and it doesn't need to, because the point of this wasn't, we need to make the next Citizen Kane, but with the Blue People action movie, we need, James Cameron likes the water, wants to play in the water, wants to play in the water. I mean, Sigourney Weaver is playing a 14-year-old, and she's 73 years old, and it shows, and it's kind of odd. But, I mean, I liked it. It was, the whales were very beautiful. The settings were very lovely. There's like a military sci-fi angle to it. James Cameron's a bit of a gunhead, it seems like, and just I don't know, Edie Falco is in this. Yeah, you never mentioned that. If you'd mentioned that, I would have been interested in this a lot sooner. I'm happy that Edie Falco's playing a villain. Good for her. I liked it. It didn't change my world, but I liked it about as much as I liked, like, you know, Doctor Strange, the Multiverse of Madness, or what else did I see this year? Or like the last Black Panther movie. Like, it was good. It was a good action blockbuster. I'm not sure, just given the immense hype, it lived up to like the towering majesty of James Cameron's reputation, but I'm not sure what could. And I'm curious to see how it toddles on as it goes further.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Did you think it was worth seeing in 3D, Dan? You've seen it only in 3D and not also 2D to compare, right?
I have thus far only seen it in 3D. But what I would say is yes. I think if you're thinking about seeing it in 3D, do it. The price jump for 3D is a bit more than it was for Avatar 1, which obviously that was, you know, 11, however many years ago. So that's pretty understandable, but it still feels like a lot. Like I think Natalie told me tickets near her were like 30 to go see it in 3D, which feels outrageous to me.
How about no?
It was 16 for me, and I saw a matinee. I think the 3D, the thing with Avatar in 3D is that it is the best 3D that is being done by movies today. So it's like, could you watch it without it? Sure. But if you have any interest in seeing a 3D movie, and in this case, that means I do think the 3D is less of a selling point for this movie than it was for the first, because the first movie, the 3D was the innovation. Here, the innovation is the underwater photography, which even though, like you said, in terms of the Black Panther, the sequel, in terms of the Marvel tentpoles, like, I think the underwater photography is really what sets this apart. And that does feel like James Cameron really likes fish. Someone let him go make a fish movie. I think that, yeah, that insert came across much more in this movie, especially knowing that, like, he relocated his family to New Zealand while they were shooting these movies. At the beginning of the pandemic, he moved there, and he has like five kids. So like those, you see the elements of Cameron as a human being more in this movie, I think, than any of his other movies. I think it's too early though. So for 3D,
it is.
3D, yes, go see it in 3D. I will see it in 2D at some point to compare, but I do think if you are interested, it's the thing that makes it worth it is you can't replicate it at home. There's no good way to watch Avatar in 3D at home. So if you want to know what that's like, you got to do it in the theater. But in terms of like the legacy, I've seen so many headlines that are like, oh, Avatar was not the success anyone hoped it would be. It's not redefining cinema. And it's like, this movie has been out for a week. Avatar 1 was a slow burn. It did not break the box office its opening weekend. It had like a pretty muted opening weekend, and then word of mouth caught on and more people saw it consistently over time. I think it's way too early to call on whether this is a disappointment, lives up. I think story-wise we could say that it feels a little like no one reined Cameron in a little bit more with this one. Much less than I felt about Love and Thunder with Taika Waititi, but like a similar thing where it's like you can see a little bit more that here's this creative mastermind at work, and I don't know if there was a no person in the room saying, hey, I don't know if that's a good idea about things. So in that regard, I don't think it's as much of a standalone, I want to say masterpiece. You can debate that for the first Avatar, but like, it's a solid standalone story, and this one didn't feel quite as much of that to me. But it's still a spectacular movie. Go see it if you haven't. So yeah, Dan, yeah, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on this?
I gave them all. I think I'm pretty good. We're going to move on because we have some good stuff to get to today. Basically, I enjoyed it. And you're right. James Cameron movies have legs. It doesn't have to redefine cinema, but I don't know. I liked it. I didn't love it, but I liked it. So good for Avatar 2. Good for the blue people. Good for the fish. Good for James Cameron and his family and their snorkeling habits. Let's move on, because we got some stuff to cover today. Let's go on to the 2023 hypest shows of 2023 ranking SmackDown. So last week, we were ranking the best shows of 2022, the 15 best. Put them in order for you. And this time, we are going to look at some of the 15 biggest shows coming our way in 2023 and rank them in order of how excited we are for them. And by the way, Julie asked if I'm taking silly pills again. No, it's just that we're on a delay, so I'm trying not to interrupt Daniel, but I still want you to look at me, so I'm just going to make faces to react to things he says very expressively. Okay, so we're going to rank the 15 hypest shows of 2023. Thank you. Our candidates are, just for your edification, The Last of Us. We got The Mandalorian Season 3. We have The Witcher Season 3. We have The Wheel of Time Season 2. We have Secret Invasion, a Marvel show. We have Loki season 2. We have Ahsoka, one of a couple of Star Wars programs. Shadow and Bone season 2. We have the return of Doctor Who with David Tennant back as the Doctor after, like, God, 13 years. We have the Three Body Problem from Dan Weiss, the Game of Thrones producers, a new sci-fi show, which I'm pretty excited about. We have The Boys season 4, The Boys spinoff Gen V. We have the second season of Good Omens, also David Tennant. David Tennant's going to be have big 2023. We have Invincible season 2. We have Vikings Valhalla season 2. And we have, like, at least three Star Trek shows going to blump together. We got Discovery, Picard, and Strange New World. And Daniel, I'm going to go ahead and get things rolling by suggesting that in the top spot should be The Last of Us, The Three Body Problem, and maybe one of those. I'm going to go with one of those as my top one.
I think that's a pretty good call. I think at the very least we can say those are going to probably be in the top, you know, three or four for both of us, because those are the two that I am most curious about as well. I think up there with The Wheel of Time season 2, I'm very intrigued about that, to see what that show can do when it's not being crippled by COVID stuff, because the first season went pretty hard off the rails because of that. So I can get behind that. I think we should set aside The Last of Us and The Three Body Problem. We can put them at 1 and 2. So let me ask you, which of those two are you more excited for?
I think the three body problem is probably not one that you guys has gotten a lot of press, and maybe that's a bad sign. Maybe I shouldn't be excited for it. But here's why I'm excited about it. It's a Netflix show. It's from the people behind Game of Thrones. It's from David Benioff and Dan Weiss, who I know got a lot of flack for the final season of Game of Thrones, but I'm really excited to see them try their hand at a new, big, sprawling story. And The Three Body Problem is a very well-regarded, kind of high-end, fancy, schmancy sci-fi show, a sci-fi story by Liu Zhijin, I think is the author, a Chinese author, kind of about an alien civilization that we contact them and they may or may not be hostile and they're starting to come here and we have to prepare for their arrival. I like... Perhaps the fact that there's some mystery to it is making me more interested, because, and the pedigree, we got like John Bradley and Liam Cunningham in it. That's cool. I just like the idea of a big, new, sprawling, challenging, intellectually stimulating, and intellectually ambitious, original story. I was saying that list, a lot of them are like season 2, season 3, season 4. This is a whole new thing. And I like that. And I don't know anything about it, but because of a leap of faith, I think I'd put it at number one. I think I would. Also, I'm not as excited about this year as I was last year. I think this year is going to be a little quieter than like House of the Dragon and The Rings of Power, as we had last year, Andor.
Totally.
But I do. What about you, Daniel? Do you want that number one? Do you want someone else number one?
You know what? I think we can leave that at number one. And I would put The Last of Us in number two.
I would too.
Those are the two. There are a lot of shows I'm curious about, but those are the two new shows coming that I feel like could make the biggest impact this year, especially The Three Body Problem, because you're right. It is a very well-regarded sci-fi story. It's huge and ambitious. And I'm really curious to see what Benioff and Weiss do with it, because, you know, they haven't really had a big show since Game of Thrones. And they've been working on this one for a while. And you're right that the press has been low. I'm not worried about that per se, because it's Netflix and they're always a little weird about their press.
Until it's a big hit, like Stranger Things.
It's definitely coming. Yeah. We do know it's coming next year, though. So, yeah, I think we can leave those two up there. Okay. So, do we go to the bottom next, or do we try to whittle our way down from the top? What do you think?
I just want to say that I want The Last of Us in second, because although it's also original, it's HBO, so you know it's going to be quality. I mean, it's zombies, and there are so many freaking zombie shows, so it doesn't get quite the bump for me, even though I'm also quite excited about that. I have the screeners, actually, so I'm looking forward to watching them maybe tonight. We'll see. Maybe certainly by this weekend, Christmas weekend.
That's cool.
I think, and Jay asked about The Mandalorian. Season 3 is coming. It's on the list. I don't know. March. The Mandalorian, I definitely think, belongs on the list, but I wouldn't put it at, like, number 1, 2, or maybe not even 3, just because I think The Mandalorian
There's
got
other good stuff.
Yeah, that's true. But also, I think The Mandalorian got a little infected with nostalgia disease, where it's...
Yep.
In that second season, they kind of put in the cameos. They got Boba Fett. They got Luke Skywalker. They got Ahsoka Tano. Like, it started to really kind of... I liked the first season so, and I really did so much because it felt its own thing and no one's interrupting us. And now it's, they're kind of making it part of this bigger marketing machine and it's still good. And like the best part of that Boba Fett show was the Mandalorian episodes. No question. It still has this pull, but I think it gets knocked down a little bit. I think I'd put The Wheel of Time probably at number three because I thought the first season was, I mean, it had some rough edges, but again, it was good and original. I thought it was exciting. I liked the cast. I liked the vibe. I liked the opulence of the production. And I just like this new story. Like, it's a fantasy story, but it's not quite Lord of the Rings, not quite Game of Thrones, somewhere kind of in between, somewhere outside. And I'm looking forward to seeing what they do now that they have a ball rolling, or they have more confidence, and they don't have to take quite some precautions because of pandemic stuff. I want to see more. I want to see more Wheel of Time. So I put that at number three. I know someone else put it at number one. I think Julie said it at number one. Ooh, good call. Julie wants to see the Last Kingdom movie, which might come out. We're not sure. And of course, there's all these Walking Dead spin-offs on the way. We'll look out for those too. We'll cover them on Wick, definitely. I'm not sure. Oh, yep. I think the Daryl spinoffs. No, they have like the Dead City one coming out. Maybe we should have added that on. Oh, I forgot. Too late. But I put that number three. That's my number three choice. How about you, Daniel?
I'm glad I don't need to fight for Wheel of Time as number three, because that is, you know, just looking at the list we have, that's the one I'm of the established shows that I'm most curious to see.
Mm-hmm. No.
The one that I'm definitely hypest for, because I think it had a decent first season, but there was kind of the bones where you could see it could be better. And this is a season that will inform us of, can it be better?
Yes.
I think, you know, with a first season, there's always a little bit of leeway if things are rocky. But then in season two, it can often become make or break. It can show you the trajectory of the show. So that's this season for Wheel of Time. And yeah, I think number three for that. Walking Dead, you're right. We'll definitely have to keep an eye on when those are coming out. They're both filming right now. Dead City and the Daryl Dixon show. But I don't know offhand when they're coming. And the same for Seven Kings Must Die. We don't know for sure if that's coming next year, but it should be. So let me ask you then. Number four, I feel like maybe Loki season two. Toss up between that and the... I agree with you about the Mandalorian kind of getting tainted a little bit. Like, I love season one, but it did become kind of a cameo of the week type show in season two. And I hope they dial that back, but I'm a little nervous. Yeah, me too. I mean, Baby Yoda and the Mando, of course it's going to be great. So does that go in the number four slot? Does Loki go there, or does something else? What do you think?
Folks said Vikings Valhalla, which does look good, but I'm not really attached to that one so much. Would maybe argue for Secret Invasion over Loki. Well, Loki was pretty good.
Okay. Yeah.
Actually, you know, I liked Invincible a lot, to be honest with you. I thought it was quite good. And I'm pretty confident they'll have a good second season. I thought that was really bracing and one of those, I mean, like, adult cartoons can be hit or miss, but that one had a good balance of, it was such a weird show, like a superhero show. So we have a million of those, right? But it was this weird balance of like, it did have sort of the ultra violence you expect from like a modern edgy adult cartoon thing. But it also like kind of had the it like preserved the optimism of like a Silver Age-ish superhero cartoon. It was a really interesting mix. And I'm
cool.
By the way, talking about Walking Dead, a Robert Kirkman joint is Invincible. Yeah, this gets harder. I think The Boys gets knocked down a couple pegs too, because season three was good, but not like splendidly good. So I'd be good with Loki, Secret Invasion, because Secret Invasion looks interesting to me because it looks, I watched those trailers and it had like a lot, they seem like they're really going for gravity. Like some of these Marvel shows, you can watch the trailers or the shows themselves and they kind of feel like throwaways a bit. Like nobody really cares about what Moon Knight was up to, even though the show was fun. Don't get me wrong, it was nice. It felt like they were trying to really summon some of that old MCU gravitas in those trailers. And Samuel Jackson can hold on a show, so I'm interested in that. They have cameos going on.
Yeah.
But you know what? I could probably agree to Loki. We also got a vote for Loki from Nicole in there. It was one of the better MCU shows. And I like the whole Doctor Who sort of the timey-wimey sci-fi alternate dimension hopping aesthetic they had going on. Performances were good. If you want Loki in there, I could agree to that. Interested in moving things the hell along.
Yeah, it is a hard toss-up between Loki and Secret Invasion. I think Loki, it's another thing where it's kind of a tried and true tested at this point. Like, we know Loki season one was good, and we kind of have an idea of what to expect in a future season. You know, more of him palling around with Owen Wilson, Kang the Conqueror. So, I think it could be a coin toss for me between Secret Invasion and Loki. Why don't we put Secret Invasion at 4, Loki at 5? Oh. I think those two could be interchangeable. Hey.
I have an alternate. Why don't we put Loki at 4?
Hit me with it.
Something else at 5, and then Secret Invasion can go a little down the list.
Sounds good.
All right, Loki
at
4.
So out of the Invincible, I haven't seen, so I will take your word
really
on
good.
It.
It's so good.
You're more excited for that than The Boys, it sounds like.
Yeah. Only because The Boys sort of fizzled out a bit at the end of that season 3 there. Don't think it was as bold as it should have been, and Invincible's still kind of riding high. I want Invincible next, frankly. I thought Invincible was really, really good. I thought it was really fun, really inventive, really optimistic and cynical at the same time. That's what it did. That which is a hard balance to pull off. But it managed it.
Totally.
And I know there's like a lot of comic source material, so I think it's like set and the story is well regarded. So I'm looking forward to seeing that get adapted. I think I'd put it at 5.
Okay. You know what? I think we should let you have this one, because again, right, I haven't seen it, but JK Simmons, I'm not going to argue it. So I'm okay with Invincible number 5. I'll say that beyond that, you know, looking past Secret Invasion, some of the next things I'm most intrigued by on the list are Shadow and Bone season 2. Very curious to see how that turns out. I liked the first season. Liked, not loved, but I think it was one of the rare instances where it's better than the book, season 1. So I'm very curious to see what they do in season 2, because season 2 is a better book than season 1 was. For me, Shadow and Bone is going to be one of my next ones. I'm also curious about The Witcher. I can't lie. It's kind of like watching a slow motion train crash, where this is Henry Cavill's last season. I know it's adapting one of the most like famous Witcher books that has a really, really good climax. And I'm really curious if they botched it. That can go lower on the list. Like, we don't need to put it above good shows, but those are the two I'm kind of eyeing. So beyond Secret Invasion, what's your next bet? And is it something you would prefer to see over Secret Invasion?
We can put Secret Invasion next, because I do think...
What about Mandalorian?
Yeah, I would say that is the next one. I'll say this too. The Witcher, if I had my way, I'd probably put it at number 15. I have a suspicion that it's going to suck.
Me too.
like the first season I thought was pretty rough out of the gate, honestly. Like, it had some things that were entertaining mm-hmm. about it, but like there are some problems. The second season was worse. With all the chaos, I think it might be terrible. It really might. Are we okay putting it at the bottom? Can we do that?
I mean, I guess so. There are some other shows on here that I like. Good Omens is another one where I watch. Like, I'm gonna watch The Witcher before I watch Good Omens, even though I know Good Omens is a better show, because I'm invested in The Witcher and I haven't started Good Omens. But I'm okay with The Witcher being at the bottom, because like I said, I'm most curious for it because it's like watching a slow motion train crash. I am not optimistic that it's going to be good, because I think if they had aced season 3, we probably wouldn't be having these conversations about Henry Cavill leaving. That's
probably
my suspicion.
Not.
So yeah, let's put it at the bottom.
At the bottom,
I'm okay
all
with
right.
that.
And I mean, Julie,
it deserves it.
I hope Witcher proves you wrong. That's all I can say,
Netflix.
Julie. I hope it does too. You know what? And look, we're talking about like
Me
things
too.
We haven't seen. We haven't seen this stuff. Maybe it will come around and be
Any
really, really great. It's very possible.
I hope so.
But I'm just going on track record here, and I have a bad feeling about this, y'all. But we'll see. And I think we wanted Secret Invasion at number 6, and then Mandalorian at number 6, and then Mandalorian we were talking about. Should it be at number 7? I am interested in watching it. I'll watch The Mandalorian. It's going to be good.
I think Mandalorian, it's got to be 6 or 7. I'll let you make the call, but it's got to be one of those two. Because it's still it's still exciting to get a new season of The Mandalorian. It's not like it ever got bad. It just relied kind of heavily on cameos. And hopefully, I'm. This is another thing where I'm nervous. I hope they dial it back a little, because Andor kind of did what the first season of Mandalorian did and just told a good story on its own. And we see that once again, that worked. I think Mando has to be at least at 7. So
I want to penalize it a bit for all the cameos and for making you watch the Boba Fett show. Do you like key events happen in that show?
We did.
Outside of The Mandalorian. Yeah. That's a big pile of bullcrap. That's stupid. Don't make us do that. Like, just keep make a show front to back and make it good, make it entertaining. I did not like that move. Yeah. So I kind of want to put it even further down for that. But
I agree.
I'm sure it will be good. They're not going to let it be bad. And there's juice in that show, and I want them to keep milking that juice. And I hope it's as good.
Yeah. I think we did penalize it some. Because otherwise it would have been higher if it didn't rely so heavily on the cameo stuff. I'm going to go. It's okay. It's the delay. I'm going to go through what we have left on the list for you guys out there and for us, so we know.
Hey, everybody. Dan Snoke here. Looks like Daniel Roman. Don't be afraid. He's frozen in time over there in Upper State New York. Where he has naught but trees and deer for company, and he's frozen, but it's not actually frozen. He is alive, kicking, but the internet signal isn't getting through to him. He's all right, we assume, unless a tree fell through his roof. But we are still here, and we're going to have a good time together before I read this message. Okay, I'll read what we have left. What we have left are Ahsoka, the coming Star Wars spin-off show of The Mandalorian, of course, starring Rosario Dawson as a green woman. Avatar is the only movie franchise that can dye people colors and call it art. We have Shadow and Bone 2, the sequel, follow-up season to Shadow and Bone, an adaptation of Leigh Bardugo's young adult fantasy novels, loosely based on Tsarist Russia. How's that for a heady, high-concept cocktail? Julie Davies, is he manscaping? Probably. He probably is. He's not here. I'm sure that's what he's doing. What else do we got? We got the Doctor Who special with David Tennant, which I wouldn't even put Doctor Who on here, except for the fact that David Tennant is coming back as the Doctor, which he has not done. I don't know the exact years, but it's been quite a few years since that happened. And that is cool that they got him back. The new showrunner got him back. So that'll be fun. We have The Boys season 4, which I'm sure will be good. We have Good Omens season 2, which is the Neil Gaiman joint that follows up on a book that doesn't have a follow-up. But Neil Gaiman is so reliable, I'm sure that's going to be something good. We have Vikings Valhalla season 2, and we have all things Star Trek. Now, Daniel's not here, but you know what? We don't know when he's going to come back. So I'm going to make... So you and I, dear viewer, are going to make the decision. Just because I haven't had time to watch it. Nicole says Ahsoka should be next. Would anybody object if we put Star Trek in 14? There's like 3 Star Trek shows. I don't have time to watch them. I've watched some of Picard. I've watched like an episode of Strange New Worlds. But it's this kind of thing where if you make so much stuff, I'm going to blame you if I can't get to all of it. Like, if they made one Star Trek show, maybe I'd make a point of watching that when it came around every year. But you want me to watch Discovery, Picard, and what's the other one? Strange New Worlds? It's too much. I just kind of just block it out instead. So it might be good. Oh, dear. Am I on? Okay. So does anybody object to me putting Star Trek at number 14? Because I'd like to. Going 5 times, going 4 times, going 3 times, going 2 times, going... once. Richard, can we do that? Can we put it at number 14? I assume we can. I'll make a mental note. And then 13, I would like to put everything Star Trek at number 14, Richard. Just like Star Trek, Picard, Strange New Worlds, and Discovery. Just the collective 2023 in Star Trek, script number 14, unless there are objections, which will not be, because I am correct. After that, I would probably put, at 13, I would probably put, and I think Danny would agree with this, he's coming back, by the way, people, don't worry, we're getting it all worked out. I'd probably put Vikings Valhalla, just because, again, it's not one I've watched, and I know that's a stupid excuse, I know it's kind of silly to say the reason we should rank something lowly is because I haven't watched it. But I haven't. There's been a lot of shows. If there's anybody out there who adores Viking Valhalla and wants to make a case for it, feel free. But I'm comfortable putting it at number 13. There you go. Just because the first season, the first show I watched some of, I enjoyed it. It was kind of like the other. Well, no, that's unfair to call it like a non-Game of Thrones Game of Thrones. It was good. It was competent. And the second one has some chutzpah to it, but it hasn't cracked my interest radar, and I think Daniel would agree. So cool. Vikings Valhalla number 13. Love that. Working, going once, going twice, going 3. As Nicole says, Vikings Valhalla is good, okay, not great, which I will take as License to Kill. Number 13 it is. Okay, and that leaves us with Good Omens, The Boys, Doctor Who, Shadow and Bone, Ahsoka. Daniel said that he enjoyed Shadow and Bone season 1. I did too. That's a lie. I appreciated Shadow and Bone season 2. I mean, season 1. I could tell that it was well done. Here's the thing about Shadow and Bone. That show is a show that I can tell is well made and decently produced, and you know, felt with enough feeling that it deserves to exist, and it's just not for me. It has that kind of YA veneer to it, which is fine. YA stuff is good. I have no problem against YA stuff. As Martha asks, is Outlander on this list? Is Outlander coming back in 2023? It probably is. Outlander season 7, are they on? It's not on the list, Martha. We're not perfect, and we may have missed one or two things. And I apologize to any shows not represented on this list. But no, Atlas on the list. If it was, who knows where it would be. Probably number -1, the top of the list. But Shadow and Bone, I'm not crazy about. Just because it doesn't really connect with... It's not to my tastes. YA stuff, I've... rarely connected with. I just always want them to be a little deeper and more complex and usually a little older. I don't know what it is. So I think I put that at 12. I'd be okay with putting a spring for season 7. In that case, I'm sorry, Martha and Julie. We just didn't put Outlander on the list because we got 15 choices to fill and we got to do something. Oh, it looks like Daniel Roman might be coming back here. Oh, my God.
Surprise. I'm back.
No way. It's a new room of your house. How's the delay?
It's not even my house. It's a different house.
It's a new room, though.
I don't know. How is it?
I've never seen a different room in Daniel Roman's. I mean, for all I know, Daniel Roman lives in that one place he always has. So this is very exciting. I enjoy seeing this. Basically, Daniel, while you were gone, I went ahead and tell me if you think this is appropriate. Yes. I started to rank the bottom. I put all things Star Trek at 14.
Okay.
Just because I don't watch it and they put out so much that I can't keep up and it's their fault. I put Vikings Valhalla at 13 just because I don't really watch that either. And sorry. It was pointed out that we didn't have Outlander on this list, which whoops. 12, I was trying to put Shadow and Bone there basically because I find it hard to love anything that's that YA. It's just never deep enough for me, but I think you wanted to make an argument for it.
Yeah, that's fair about the YA-ness of it. I enjoy Shadow and Bone. I think what they've done to make it, I don't want to say a little less YA, but they've mixed in the Crow's plot line, which is, you know, they're like roving scandalous thieves type thing. It's hard because I am more excited for Shadow and Bone than like, say, Doctor Who or Ahsoka or Good Omens. Like, I'm going to watch Shadow and Bone ahead of any of those.
Gotcha.
I can understand the logic that you've got going on, though. I think that's pretty fair.
Well, what would you put at number 12 rather than
that? Are you more excited for Doctor...
than Shadow and Bone?
Doctor
yes.
Doctor Who.
I'm excited for Doctor Who, kind of, because David Tennant's back. Really? Okay. You know, I could probably allow that just in the spirit of compromise. I am not crazy excited for Doctor Who, but I am more excited than Shadow and Bone. Shadow and Bone just kind of bores me. And Doctor Who has David Tennant back. And David Tennant was like, that was the show at its peak. That was like the classic era of the new Doctor Who. And if for no other reason than kind of the nostalgia for the iconography, I'm interested. That was a nice coup they got to get the old showrunner back and the old Doctor. But I am willing, because, you know, I just rank things without you here for a while. So I'm willing to put Doctor Who at 12 and Shadow and Bone at 11 if that will smooth over any feelings of displacement or chaos.
I think it would. I think it would. I think it would go a long way toward, evening out all the imagined slights I came up with while I was running to this other room in order to get back on the internet.
I made some
Shadow
cracks.
Shadow and Bone 11.
Cool. I made some cracks
made
while
some
you
cracks.
Were gone. About
cracks
like of- your rural living life, basically, but they're always half-formed. I just like write out jokes about the way you live and just dash them off sometime when your call drops out. And then for 8, 9, 10.
That's good.
I think someone suggested that Ahsoka should be number 8. Do we agree?
I mean, this is a hard thing because, again, Good Omens is one of those things where I'm going to watch Ahsoka. I'm not going to watch Good Omens right when it comes out. I think of all the Star Wars things, Ahsoka at 8? Was that the question?
Someone suggested that Ahsoka go next. Honestly, I would put Good Omens, but I would watch Good Omens before Ahsoka. I liked the first season. I thought David Tennant, and Michael Sheen brought a lot of really good energy to it. I thought it was fun. I thought it was like whimsical without being annoying. And this new season is going to be like Neil Gaiman writing his own, basically his own story, because the book is adapted. This is like based on him and Terry Pratchett absent-mindedly thinking like, wouldn't it be cool if this happened next? And I think it's exciting. But again, you would not. And I respect that too. And then the boys.
Okay. Yeah. A lot of it for me, honestly, it's the Neil Gaiman element. I love Neil Gaiman. I don't always, for whatever reason, I have a hard time clicking with a lot of his stories. It's just this something in the style of them. I am not surprised. Loving that Sandman, which I enjoyed a lot.
I click.
Okay, so it's hard. Ahsoka, The Boys, and Good Omens.
Look, I would rank those three. You say what you would do. 8, 9, 10.
The Boys, Good Omens, Ahsoka. Even though I'm more excited for Ahsoka, I think it is a bigger deal that Good Omens is coming out. I'm more intrigued. The fact that Neil Gaiman is helping write it and it is a sequel to the book, basically, because they already did the book. That's the kind of thing when if a normal show did it, I'd be like, oh God, here comes the train wreck. But because he's involved, I'm really curious.
Like deeply involved.
So yeah, The Boys, Good Omens, Ahsoka.
And yeah, I would go Good Omens, The Boys, Ahsoka. Just because I still have faith in the boys, some faith, because, you know, they've earned it. Like, it's a good show. I want
season three was good. They just pulled the punch at the end of it.
I'm surprised it's this low. I thought it would be higher. But so Ahsoka at number 10 then. So we can agree on that at least. Because, like, it could be good. It's a new Star Wars show.
Yes, we can.
I mean, I don't know. Is it going to be an Obi-Wan Kenobi nostalgia fest? Is it going to be a Book of Boba Fett snooze? Or is it going to be an Mandalorian fun-packed adventure ride? Or an Andorish bracingly revolutionary peon to the power of people? I don't know. It's number 10. And then... Yeah.
It's going to have a lot of references. It is. So I think that's fair. Sure. Okay, so we're down to The Boys and Good Omens.
Do you want to bend or should I? No, we can't do that.
Okay. You know what? We can't rock, paper, scissors it. I will say I'm indifferent enough about Gen V that I think we can put Good Omens above it.
Cool.
I'm intrigued for The Boys. Yeah, I thought season three was good. I thought they pulled the punches a little bit at the end. It's almost weird to think of it coming back again next year because now I'm starting to get used to shows being every other year.
I am too. It is
so I'm not
weird.
Hungry for more boys right now.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I think Good Omens 8, The Boys.
Yeah, I like it. And that is our list. The top 15 most anticipated shows of 2023. Number one, Three Body Problem, Debate of Dan Weiss. Number two, The Last of Us, premiering January 15th. Number three, The Wheel of Time, season two. Number four, second season of Loki. Number five, second season of Invincible. Number six, Secret Invasion, starring Emilia Clarke and Samuel L. Jackson. Number seven, The Mandalorian, season three, Baby Yoda and Din Djarin returning. Number eight, Good Omens, with Angel and Demon, kind of homoerotic undertones, saving the planet. Number nine, The Boys, season four, Homeland of Batman. Number 10, Ahsoka, Rosario Dawson, she's an orange woman, not green. I got that wrong. Okay, number 11, Shadow and Bone, Ben Barnes.
Yes.
Sexy YA fodder. Number 12 is Doctor Who, Doctor Who's back. Number 13, fucking Valhalla, season 2. Number 14, all the Star Trek stuff. So much Star Trek stuff. And there's more we didn't even mention. There's like animated shows. Number 15, the probably dumpster fire that will be The Witcher season 3, which is exciting, but it probably won't be very good. Yeah. And that's our list.
Okay, can we? So a few honorable mentions or ones we didn't get in there. So Outlander, sure. I don't know for sure if that's going to come out next year. They've said that it is, but Catriona Balf also said she expects filming to take 13 months on season 7. they started in October. So that's like,
oh my God.
I don't know how that would happen unless they split the season, basically. There's the Mayfair Witches coming out in January.
The Mayfair Witches.
So there's Ironheart for Marvel. So there is good stuff we didn't fit on here, but these are the hypest.
Hypest. Okay, Daniel, we are running on time, but I want to go right into Daniel. You've seen The Witcher Blood Origin, which is coming out on Christmas Day, December 25th on Netflix, The Witcher prequel show, so 1,000 years before. Daniel, just give us your rundown. What'd you think of this?
My quick rundown is that if 2022 was the year of a lot of prestige, amazing fantasy and science fiction shows, The Witcher Blood Origin is the Morbius of the crop. It is so bad. And I say this as like a longtime Witcher fan. I love the books. I love the games. I had beef with the Netflix show because there are things I don't think it has done well in relation to the source material. But Blood Origin, it's hard to even be mad about because it's just that chaotically bad. That even though it is more like a 90s sci-fi channel original than it is like the current state of fantasy shows, which sounds real bad, but like the effects on it look like a 90s sci-fi original, like kind of the tone. It's very, I don't want to say slapstick, but it's not afraid to make jokes at its own expense. So there's a feeling that like they prioritized fun. The rule of cool is the rule on the...
Wait, I'm sorry to say that again. The rule of cool is what now? All right. Everybody, Daniel's home...
What? Did I drop out again?
You blanked out there for a second. Yeah, okay, but I want to ask a question. You blanked out right when you were saying the rule of cool is something, something, something. Where was that going?
Yes. Yes. So... The Witcher Blood Origin, they made a lot of decisions that don't really serve a purpose. They just, someone thought they would be cool. That's the feeling I get watching it. So what I was saying about that is the rule of cool is the rule on that show. So at a certain point, you just kind of have to go with it. You can't even get mad about how unhinged the thing is. And this might sound like I'm being very harsh, but I have seen Blood Origins like 3 times through now. I have enjoyed it, but enjoyed it in the sense that I'm laughing because it's so chaotically, outrageously ridiculous that you can't even get upset. It feels nothing like The Witcher. Like they basically went as far afield as they possibly could from anything laid out in the books or games. So those are my thoughts on The Witcher Blood Origin. If you watch it, I hope you enjoy. Definitely consider drinking a lot while you do. I recommend it. It helps you get through it.
A camp classic in the making, perhaps. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you for giving us that preview into hell.
Yeah.
Good way to end the year, kick off the next one. Should we do lightning round really quick, or should we skip right to the end?
Up to you, Dan. You've been holding this down while I've been running around in the outside to, you know, come to this room where I have internet. So
where is that
your
room?
Call.
If I can ask, just like as like a Christmas present to our viewers.
My mother-in-law's house. Yeah, I ran to the neighbor, which is my mother-in-law. I'm in her house in the basement. I do not have pink walls in my own place.
I was going to say, would you call those walls pink salmon? What would you call them?
I would call them pink, but salmon is probably more accurate.
Okay. You know, in one study,
I think
in prisons
could be made.
Cool. In prisons, they used to have pink walls to keep the inmates calm. So I'm glad you're calm. Let's do lightning round. Let's do it. This has been a Dan Sucky fun fact.
Let's do it.
This is okay.
Yeah.
Who's starting?
You know, I didn't even think about who should start. So, why don't you pitch it to me first?
All right.
So I want to hear you talk about the next one.
Daniel, for one last time in 2022, lightning round. Put 26 to the clock. Go. Ewan Mitchell confirms that House of the Dragon season 2 will film for 8 damn months, probably from March to October.
Yeah, Ewan Mitchell, Aemon Targaryen from House of the Dragon, basically confirming filming is going to last most of 2023. So if you're wondering why we won't get a new season next year, that's why. They're going to be filming it probably right up until around October, based on what he said, and that we know they're starting in March. So it's exciting to get news.
That's nice, yeah.
Sliding in under the buzzer. All right, Dan. So speaking of Witcher stuff, Henry Cavill is officially not coming back as Superman. While James Gunn, who is the new co-head of DC Studios, is putting out fires left and right on Twitter. What's this been like, Dan? What do we need to know?
It's been a roller coaster, man. Henry Cavill quits The Witcher. He's being a Superman again. He's not going to be Superman again. It's been entertaining to watch. I bet there's a lot of things we didn't see behind the scenes that I'm very curious to see. James Gunn is throwing out Wonder Woman. He's throwing out Superman. He's throwing out a lot of stuff and building from scratch. I bet we'll look back at this in 2 years and hopefully it's fine. But for right now, it seems like a raging fire. All right. Yeah. Speaking of Henry Cavill, Daniel, Henry Cavill, instead of playing Superman, instead of being on The Witcher, he is going to executive produce and star in a drama based on the tabletop sci-fi role-playing game Warhammer 40K for Amazon. What's up?
Yeah. I think that's so hilarious. Like, I'm happy for him that he has this gig. They locked it in. He is starring and executive producing in it, I believe, with Vertigo Studios. So I don't really have a skin in the game when it comes to Warhammer. Like, I'll probably watch it, but I don't really care too much one way or the other. I just think it's so funny that people meme that when he left The Witcher and Superman, they were like, let him make Warhammer. And now here we are.
Interesting, man.
Yeah, for real. Okay, Dan. So back to Netflix. The final season of The Umbrella Academy will only have 6 episodes instead of the usual 10. We don't know how long they are, but that's a bit shorter than we expected. What do you think that means for the series?
I think it makes sense. I think, again, we're coming to the end of this big, booming, tons of money into TV bubble. And people are realizing, like, we just can't spend 8-10 episodes every season on a show that just not enough people are watching. Umbrella Academy is popular, but it's not that popular to justify, like, all these millions they must be spending on the special things. So it makes sense. At least we're getting an ending. Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Agree.
Daniel, speaking of superhero, I don't know what to think of this. Donald Glover, celebrated actor and musician, is producing and starring in a new Sony Spider-Verse villain movie, a la Morbius, about a very little-known Spider-Man villain called the Hypno Hustler. Is he selling out, or is it genius?
I feel like it's so hard to know. I'm happy for Donald Glover that he is in the Spider-Verse finally, like in a more official capacity, because he had a cameo in Homecoming that never went anywhere. I was excited about this news right up until I realized it was one of the Sony Spider-Verse villain movies, like Morbius and Venom and Kraven the Hunter. And now I'm over it.
Well,
I hope,
man,
it's good, but I don't expect it.
Sure.
Yeah, truth. Okay, so Dan, speaking of Neil Gaiman and The Sandman that we were talking about earlier, Netflix is considering releasing new episodes of The Sandman in batches as opposed to full seasons. What do you think?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's the same thing with The Umbrella Academy. Like, these shows are expensive to make, and people are realizing on Netflix, like, we can't keep doing this. Like, anybody who says, like, it makes more sense, it doesn't. Like, of course, it should be a full season, but at least we'll get new episodes, and just, I'm glad they're holding on. I hope shows find creative ways to do this thing. Maybe it'll be a fun new model. Maybe it'll innovate something. Yeah. Who knows? At least we're getting more. I hope we get the whole thing somehow. All right. Here's a pretty fun one. Daniel, the UK TV station Sky Atlantic was formally censured for airing an episode of Game of Thrones at 7:30 a.m. without parental locks on account of all the potty words. Like, the official statement said, like, use words were used, like, and then swear words here. Like, things the hound would say at 7:30 a.m. Gotta get punished yeah. for that.
I think that's so funny. Yeah, because in the UK, there's a pin that goes on shows with adult content on that channel, and they didn't have it because they accidentally aired it at 7 a.m. So just imagining all the children who were introduced to these words through the hound is kind of hilarious. It's a fun one. Fun holiday story for the family. Okay, Dan, our final lightning round entry of 2022. We got the we got our first look at Nakuti Gatwa and Millie Gibson as the 15th Doctor and his companion Ruby Sunday.
Now, first of all, Ruby Sunday, good lord, that is a lot of quirk for a name. They look cool, though. I don't love Doctor Who, but whenever there's a new Doctor, it's always exciting. And the first Doctor of color, that'll be cool. They look fun. Yeah, go for them. It looks neat. Maybe it'll revive the show, because it used to be like a pretty big deal and then it kind of fizzled out. Maybe you can bring it back. We'll see. And that is it. That's the last Newsletter Run of the year. Thank you for watching, Julie. Merry Christmas to everybody. Happy New Year. Thanks for watching all year, guys. This is a lot of fun. Daniel came on this year. Yay! He actually started at Fanside at WIC literally a year ago yesterday. So congrats, Daniel, on your 1 year anniversary. And your birthday's tomorrow.
Oh, thanks, Dan.
Happy birthday and Merry Christmas. You were born like 4 days out from Christmas. Poor bastard.
It's true.
So all the anniversaries are happening for you right now. Congrats to all of you for watching the best damn pop culture chat show on the internet. I have been Dan Selke with Daniel Roman. We will not be back for 2 weeks. We're going to be gone next week and the week after, so we can enjoy our families, our friends, and like a plate of fudge this high. It's going to all be for me.
Yes.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And I hope you guys also enjoy the holidays, friends, family, fudge. And we'll see you back here on January the, because we're off 28th, Saturday, and January 4th. We'll be back live on January 11th, Wednesday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. Right here on the Facebook page, we're going to come to YouTube page. But in the meantime, if you're missing us, you can always catch us in podcast form on iTunes, Google Play, wherever podcasts are available. Thank you for a wonderful 2022. Here's looking forward to a great 2023. Happy holidays and merry times.
Thanks, all. Have a great year. Holiday. What am I saying?
This podcast is brought to you by Fansided. Join our community of over 300 sites from sports to pop culture and everything in between.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.